This is Stanley Davis from Missouri Scorchers.
This is Jordan Johnson on the Glasgow Rocks.
My name is Aaron Anderson from the Sheffield Sharks.
This is Brandon Peel of the Newcastle Eagles.
This is Andreas Kapoulos, head coach of the Bristol Flyers.
This is Lorenzo Gugini of the London Lions, and you are now listening.
You are now listening to the BBL show.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 18 of the BBL Show, the place for all British Basketball League-related news. I am Jay Marriott. He is Drew Lasker. How are you, sir? How has your week been?
What's good, my brother? It's been a great week. It's good to be back in a routine. And that's all I can say. It feels nice. Kids are back in school, thank God. But I see it's our guy's Joshua's birthday. How was the birthday party?
Yeah, good. We actually did it today. So yesterday, our coach company yesterday for our away game had a COVID outbreak. So we had to drive. So I ended up driving about 7.5 hours total because I went down to the game, then came back to Gloucester, then drove all the way down here so that we could make it for today. But yeah, good, man. Some bowling, some arcades, you know. Those pounds flying around there, they went quick, you know, a few slush puppies and then job done, right? Everyone's happy, everyone's buzzing, parents are staring at me all kinds of ways because I've given them a slush puppy and the kids are going out of their mind as they're as they're actually leaving with still the birthday cake to eat. So just a regular birthday, I'm sure, for everybody in England.
Sound like a lot of fun. I had Callie Mae's birthday yesterday as well, and it's just good to have that in the rearview mirror because planning that stuff and being responsible for 14, 15 kids, it's a lot. So,
yeah, I got to be honest. I was just the clown on the day. Cass organized everything. I just rocked up. I was the credit card, and I was the red-nosed man making everybody laugh. So I had the easy stuff. Anyway.
You too, then.
Anyway. Family is great, so it's good to get re-energized. Anyway, this week, we see just how deep the brotherly rivalry goes as we welcome the Whelan brothers to the show. Patrick in Leicester with Jordan in Manchester about to face up for the first trophy of the BBL season. We go in with Alaska Look Back and Player of the Week alongside Hot Topics and Buy or Sell. But before all that, it's your social media spy. It's the Marriott Minute. Okay, Bristol Flyers have added American guard Antoine Johnson on a short-term deal, filling in for the injured Mike Miller. Derby become the 12th non-BBL team to beat a BBL team in a knockout competition. Say that again 10 times over. I called it, but I didn't commit to it on the graphic. But a great win for those guys. Despite this cup upset, there has been a lot of noise online for a cup restructure with some odd possible outcomes as they move forward because of the rules. A few examples of this is Pablo Cheeks tweeting about the Plymouth City Patriots having to play the Welsh national team, saying why could Hemelstorm or Wortham Thunder not play in the BBL official trophy? Time to stop the Basketball Wales experiment in the trophy now, surely. Tough watch. So, hard words from my man there, Pablo Cheeks, but honest. Giving our man BBL Fix some love, I saw a pretty elite tweet with somebody asking who they should follow for British basketball information, and Dave Owen gave the ultimate cosign by saying, I mean, he covers everything, so that should be about it. So he's not wrong. We also co-sign BBL Fix with elite information. If you want to know what's going on, usually I start there and then start my digging, especially around the Marriott Minute. And that is this week's Marriott Minute. I'm always watching.
Yeah, just before we came on, I had saw that thread talking about strengthening or restructuring the trophy competition. And all I'm going to say is, I'm up for anything that improves the overall structure of the league. So I'm all for it. Speaking of the trophy final, the Leicester Riders get upset in the first round of the competition to the Bristol Flyers, 71-68, as Mark Levin misses a potential game-tying three to take it into overtime. So firstly, this cuts out all the chatter about the Leicester Riders winning all four. And, I mean, We were just on the Leicester Riders high horse a week ago, and then 5 days later, they proved that they were human. So, Jay, what's your thoughts on them dropping this game?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by it, just because I believe we both said like we don't see the Leicester Riders winning all four trophies. I think for them, progression would be to put two in the cabinet. I think that probably, you know, Coach Rob's going to say he's out for everything. General Gino's going to say he's out for everything. Even our man Peter Simmons, if we speak to him, they're out for everything. But reality says, I think if they got to the end of the season and they had two trophies in the cabinet, they would see that as progression. And that would probably leave just a little bit of hunger on the table there as well, perhaps for the general to come back for a third season maybe instead of spreading his wings elsewhere. And also as well, like we got to talk about the Bristol Flyers. Like at what point are they going to come into the conversation that they're the real deal this season? You know, like I feel like there's an opportunity for them to get higher than how I've predicted them, where I see them being. They're good to watch. The Americans they brought in are definitely an upgrade. And I felt like it didn't matter what you really did in those positions. I thought it was going to be tough. And defensively, they're as locked in as they've ever been. So, you know, we have to give them some plaudits as well, because we do that. Like we get on London Lions, we get on the Leicester Riders. But Bristol Flyers are just quietly, you know, and cheesy enough just to say they're flying under the radar.
Nice tag. But I'll start off firstly with the Leicester Riders, and I think this will be a loss that will, it's one of those good losses in a sense, because if you think about it, Leicester Riders have been flawless over the last 2 or 3 months, and sometimes that's a bad thing rolling to a trophy final, because you can kind of get complacent and get a sense of fool's gold, because finals are different. It's just a one-off. It doesn't matter anything about form. Anything can happen on a day. And I'm looking at the Manchester Giants. A couple of weeks ago, I would have thought this was the Leicester Riders were heavy favorites. But now I'm starting to look at this game as a pick 'em, because, you know, losing Martavius McKnight, I thought that would really put a chink in the Giants' armor. But man, you talk about that depth. It's just next man up, and it's been Artisan who's stepped up, Gino. And that team looks even stronger to me. So I think this loss will wake up and refocus those guys just in time for the finals, because one thing that we've seen about the Leicester Riders is that they can lose big games when they are the favorite, in particular to the Sheffield Sharks. They lost to the Sharks in the trophy in the playoff final a few years ago. So I think this will end up being a great loss for the Riders and being a huge reason why they are lifting the cup on January 3rd. But to your point about the Bristol Flyers, I was actually going to touch on that, asking you, were they for real? And you've basically just said yes. I mean, right now they're 4-2 in the league. They're 1 minute away from being in the cup semifinals. Obviously, we remember what happened in those final 60 seconds to Glasgow when they were in control and just totally just gave the game away. And now they beat the Leicester Riders to advance to the second round of the trophy competition. But that's the second victory against Leicester, when I believe before then they had never beat them before, if I'm not mistaken. To add on to that, they did dismantle the Newcastle Eagles on the Eagles' home court. So we had Coach Andreas here earlier in the year, and we addressed that offense because we know about the past is that they would have that death quarter, right, where they just couldn't score. And now I think they actually passed that poison to the Sheffield Sharks. But this team is playing a more exciting style of basketball. And it's funny because I think it was last episode, a couple episodes ago, I had given a lot of props to the Bristol Flyers, actually after they beat the Newcastle Eagles. Got a couple of phone calls, a couple of DMs basically saying to chill out. I'm a little bit too high on them. But to me, they're looking for real. But, you know, still staying in this trophy competition, Surrey loses to Derby. Derby rides the momentum of this Lynch final to defeat the Scorchers 98-93, with Malcolm Smith getting them 36-12. What's your thoughts on this game?
So this is an interesting one, because we track back to before Christmas, like my Queens, we played Nottingham, and actually I watched the Nottingham Derby game that went right down to the wire. I think it was like literally the last couple seconds. And what really stuck out to me about Derby was just the pace that they wanted to play. Nottingham had the size. Derby really had that pace. And it was a great game. I really enjoyed watching it. It was a high-level game. So knew a little bit about Derby, you know, able to see him in person. It's always a little bit different than when you're just trying to catch up with what's going on with here and there and everywhere. You know, obviously on a high from their cup win, you know, it was obviously a great event. I saw lots of tweets. You know, I know our man Peter was involved in it. I know Russ Levinson, obviously from the Riders, is a chairman there at BE. And I knew Surrey could be in danger. I think for me, the biggest thing is it just highlights just how bad that loss is for London. You'd almost go as far, very, very extreme point to just say like almost unforgivable, right, with how they are. And then you have to be even harder again on Surrey that how you don't take that win against the London Lions, even if it's fool's gold, right? Even if they, you know, even if they didn't have 10 guys or whatever else is going to be the excuses that they throw into the mix, you must go and beat Derby. You have to put a marker down. You know, my criticism for Surrey is that they've known it's not working for a while, like whatever that is. I don't know what that is behind the scenes, but they've known it's not working for a while and they're still doing the same things. And that is killing me right now, you know, and it must be killing the fan base, you know, because Surrey, you know, for me is just another team in the BBL. I'm not invested in it. I'm not trying to be intentionally down on it. I'm not trying to be intentionally up on it. But obviously at the start of the year, lots of noise. We have Stanley Davis coming on and, you know, talking about how they were going to go and try and win the league and things like that. And, you know, we both sat there, you know, we're not going to insult our guests, you know, but we just sat there and just thought, okay.
Well, bless him. He didn't know. He's a rookie.
No, so exactly. He's a rookie and I don't want to burst his bubble. And also I don't want to be the idiot that maybe proves me wrong. So, you know, we stayed quiet, but we both knew. We gave each other a little glint. So, yeah, I just think it's a really bad loss all around. But absolute credit to Derby, man. Like, I thought when I watched them in person, I thought they were just really well coached. You know, they've kicked on. And like you said, Malcolm Smith, wow. You know, I saw you tweeting furiously. You know, like, it almost looked like Marriott of last year. You know, you were invested in what was happening there. And you were furious by the fact that they were doing the same thing break after break and nobody was stopping them. So I'm sure you got some things to say.
Well, I was glued to this game because obviously we got Surrey coming up on Sky on Friday. So I hadn't watched them this closely. So I want to really put all my attention to them. And, you know, I told you, you made a great point there. The first thing that I thought about when Surrey lost this game was, man, this is a bad loss for London. And this is exactly why last week we came on here and I didn't let them off the hook. You know, we talked about St. Pat's tweet and I was like, no, they had six guys. That could be a team in the BBL if you just take those six guys. And so that wasn't an excuse to lose into the Surrey Scorchers. So that's a game that I wouldn't be surprised if it comes back and haunt them later on in the year when we're talking about down the stretch grabbing that championship title. But, you know, the Surrey Scorchers, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not really all into saying that, oh, this is just such a terrible loss. Because at the end of the day, and I tweeted this, it's basketball at the end of the day. If you don't respect the game, you can always lose to an inferior opponent. You think about the FA Cup in football. You see it all the time. Championship teams lower. I mean, think about Newcastle. Newcastle, who did they lose to? They lost to a lower division team.
Yeah,
Cambridge, I believe. Yeah. Chesterfield,
Cambridge,
whoever.
Cambridge, you're right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It happens all the time. However, it's happened twice in a season to Surrey. That's why it's concerning for me. Obviously, they lost to the London Lions second team early in the year in the cup stage, right? When the London Lions senior team had COVID. And so they sent out the Division One team, and Surrey lost to those guys by 1 point. But the biggest thing that was disappointing for me is just, like, there's just a way to lose. And what's so frustrating is that there was so many times that I just saw layup after layup after layup. And one area that Surrey's poor at, transition defense, and Derby's the wrong team you want to play if you don't have great transition defense, because that team run, they push the ball, and I seen multiple occasion guys pushing the ball 80 feet and getting all the way to the basket and laying it up, and I was just like, how? So I mean, it's really frustrating, and I guess I was even more upset because I'm like, I'm really rooting for Surrey because I want them to represent the league. Mm. Similar to how I felt like the entire league was rooting for us and they were like, you better not lose to Solent, you know, in a trophy final. You know, because you're representing the BBL. You're basically trying to show these guys that this is why we're at this level and this is why you're at that level. So I was looking kind of for that energy from Surrey, but they just waited to the dying minutes to start playing hard. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to catching up with Creon and those guys this week because I want to really ask some tough questions, you know, like we usually do on the telecast to just kind of figure out how these guys can get this thing turned around. Because at the end of the day, like I said, everybody's in the same boat, and there's no excuses.
And he's such an honest man as well, right?
He's gonna tell you exactly how it is. Yeah, but I mean, this transitions us perfectly into our buy or sell segment. And my question for you is: if Derby plays Surrey 10 times, are you buying the fact that they will beat these guys 50% or more of the time? The same two teams.
Yeah, I'm buying that. Just because, like you said, that transition defense is atrocious. It really is. When you look and you break that down, like that's really just... You know, that's just really down to two things. Like, that's just poor reps. You know, that there's no clarity in what you're trying to do in stopping the ball. You know, because everybody has a couple of things, right? But generally, you know, it's stop the ball and create a wall, right? You don't want to leave yourself open. You don't want to be spread, especially against a Derby team like that. And again, watching them, they will get their head on the rim quick. You know, they're trying to attack you and they're just trying to exploit that. And I just think that it's too late in the season to be seeing that. You know, if I'd have seen that in preseason, I would have been, guys, like, come on, you know, like, that's just tough on them. But this is, you know, this is the business end of the season right now. You know, this is times where things matter. And for Surrey, you know, look, they're not really playing for that much this season. So a cup run would have made absolute sense and would have been just such a magical thing for, you know, their team and their fan base. So I'm going to buy that.
Well, let me correct you on one thing, sir. You are playing for one thing, and that's your job. That's your career. Ooh. And what I was looking for, or what I'm looking for, is kind of what I saw out of Dan Clark tonight in the Manchester game. You know, he was frustrated with a couple of calls not going his way, and he picks up a tech. And sometimes... those are texts that guys are getting to send a message to the rest of the team. And I would just like to see my guy, Teo, one time, just get pissed off, throw the ball, and get a tech. Not that you're mad at the referees, not that you're mad. Basically, to send a message to the team that, man, this is some BS. You know, we can't have guys dribbling the ball 94 feet, scoring a layup, and no one communicates, no one stops the ball. That's what you're taught at the youth level, right? Once you start learning organized defense, at the youth level, you're taught just to guard a man. Then the next step is, okay, stop the ball in transition. It's not get your man, it's get a man at the basic fundamental level of basketball. So, you know, it's really, really frustrating for me, but... you know, hopefully these guys can put it together Friday night for the Sky Cameras. But moving on from the Surrey Scorchers and still standing in the trophy competition for this buy or sell segment. Obviously, we see the Riders drop out of the competition and we got the London Lions heading up to the Newcastle Eagles on Friday for the first round. And we saw that top division. It's really strong. But now all of a sudden it kind of looks a little bit more friendly than it did before. So my question to you, with Manchester playing the winner out of London and Eagles, and then you got Bristol hosting Derby, will the trophy winner come from the Eagles-Lions game?
That's such a tough question because there's so many things to play out. Like, it's so interesting what's going to happen with that Manchester-Leicester game. You know, we talk about it with the... With the Whelan boys, just how interesting it is because they haven't faced off yet. And I feel like whatever happens there will predicate what happens with Manchester. I think I'm going to buy that just because So for the Newcastle Eagles, I feel like it's the cup competitions where the form's going to come from. I feel like that's where a potential trophy could come from. And people might just say, man, you're just crazy right now with what you're saying about that. But it's still the Newcastle Eagles. And there is still enough pieces there that understand how to win. And like you've said, in a cup competition, it's a one-off game. And London Lions, they just desperately need to pick themselves up right now. You know, like, I honestly would love, and maybe that's something that we need to go after, like, on the podcast. I honestly just need to speak to somebody about what the Lions' objectives are, because I'd just be fascinated to know. If it's just all in on Europe and they don't really care about the BBL, then I understand, I can relax. But, you know, they should have been going after all four trophies and absolutely show why they're the dominant force in British basketball. So I can't believe that they wouldn't be absolutely locked into what's going on with that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm buying it for the simple fact that both of these teams must win this competition. If Eagles somehow get through the London Lions, they have to be thinking, this is our opportunity. The Leicester Riders are gone. We just got to get through to Manchester, who they haven't beat this year, which is going to be a tough task. But they have to be thinking to themselves that this is a season savior, which sometimes trophies can do that. You know what I mean? They get this trophy, people might overlook of how bad this season has been for them. For London Lions, I know Vince spoke on it earlier. They're not dictating their season on the number of trophies. He mentioned it earlier to kind of call me out, but they got to win this competition. Both of these teams got to win this competition. So I'm buying it. Or else, can you imagine, you know, the Eagles going trophyless this season and London Lions being out of two competitions before February? It would be a lot of chatter in the British basketball community. But that finishes our buy or sell, and over to you, my man.
Awesome. Great job. Okay. You know it. It's time to go to the player of the week.
It's time for the BBL show player of the week.
We have chosen three players, starting with none other than Dan Clark, Manchester Giants. Fantastic performance in their trophy run, 26.7 rebounds and 6 assists for a 35 index. Losing McKnight means the big fella steps up and steals the limelight. Second, Denzel Ubiaro, in his performance for the Plymouth City Patriots, 20.6 rebounds and 3 assists for a 26 index. And then lastly, we've talked about him right here earlier in the show, Malcolm Smith of Derby, with an emphatic double-double of 36 points and 12 rebounds for a 30 index.
Nice. Get out there on the socials and vote like you guys usually do. But I know you guys are anticipating getting the Whelan brothers here on the show. But before we do, let's educate you a little bit in the Lasker Look Back. In this episode of the Lasker Look Back, we touch on the brothers that have played concurrently in the British Basketball League's history, courtesy of Dan Routledge. There have been a number of brothers that have played in the league at the same time. If you guys can remember the Baker brothers, Runny and Stedroy. Also the Brunell brothers, George and Eddie. The Calder, Brian and Ian. And also, I'm not sure if you would know of this, Jay, the Depeche, Paul and Peter, not sure if I pronounced that correctly. And we got the Elderkins, Mark and Paul. We also have the Holmes brothers down at Surrey, Chavis and Travis. Also the Hopper brothers, Alan Neal. We got those Manchester Giants, Callum and James Jones. Also, we have the LaSalles, Tim and Anthony LaSalle. We have the Midleys, Daniel and Richard. And Ori Laha, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Aide and Tunde. We got the Pennies, Tony and Kevin, and we got Peter and Richard Scantleberry. We got Kenny and Alvin Scott, And we got my former teammates, Stewie and Andrew Thompson. Also got Anthony and Alto Virgil. And we got the Westbrooks, remember those guys? With Isaac and Aaron. And finally, another set of teammate of mine, Jamal and Kai Williams. Now, the last two brothers to be added onto this list is yours truly, Jordan and Patrick Whelan, in which I'll pass the mic over to Big Mike, no pun intended, to finish off the Laska Look Back in style.
Hi, everyone. Drew Laska has asked me to share a few thoughts about the BBL Cup Final and my sons, Jordan and Patrick Whelan, playing in opposite sides for Manchester Giants and Leicester Riders, respectively. This is the first time in my memory that such a game has happened. And generally, they both support each other's basketball. Both played for England under 18s and attended colleges in the United States. Mid-America Nazarene University and William Jewell College, both of which were on each side of Kansas City, which was very fortunate for me. Sharing some early family memories are when Jordan, aged about 4 years, decided to join Patrick and I, who were in an outdoor pool, without putting on his armbands and rushing straight over, quickly finding that walking on water wasn't one of the skill sets he possessed. Thankfully, I got him off the bottom of the pool fairly quickly, and he revived very readily. A couple of years later, when showering in an indoor pool, Patrick inexplicably started jumping up and down and fell, loosening both of his teeth in the fall. And we spent the next 3 weeks liquidizing food in order to recover them. Patrick wasn't good at saving himself from falls, but did manage to break his fall by grabbing hold of a couple of vertical blinds on one occasion, bringing everything down. Jordan and Patrick never really fought as children, because Patrick would just hand over anything to Jordan that he wanted. Jordan did, however, manage to kick Patrick in the ear whilst messing around in a swimming pool whilst we're on holiday in Turkey, bursting his eardrum. Jordan, in early basketball, realised that one of the best ways to get the ball back, if he didn't have it, was to go rebounding. Patrick continued his sharing ways by passing basketball to his teammates, sometimes when you hoped he wouldn't. But nevertheless, in one camp game, he suddenly got the idea that in fact he could take over games himself, which is something that both Jordan and Patrick are very capable of doing. Both are also a little bit musical, having taken piano lessons, but weren't overly keen on the piano practice, explaining that they were absent from Manchester Magic team training to Joe Forber because of being grounded as a result wasn't very easy. Joe queried whether their aspirations were to become pianists or to be basketball players. At which point, I bravely suggested to Joe that he speak to their mum. However, subsequently, I do believe both have put their piano playing to good use, mainly when entertaining friends at birthday parties or in college, some of which I understand were young ladies. Both are good at all sports, really, including football, skiing, and golf, Although over the years of the many annual golf challenges that we've held, the head-to-head still counts heavily in my favour. That's despite the boys' complaints that I wasn't giving them enough shots. Really? Athletes complaining they don't get enough shots from their dad? Come on, guys. So I'm being asked who I'm supporting and who's going to win. For me, of course, it's a no-lose situation. One of them's going to win. And the team which will win will be the team that handles this one game shootout the best, plays to its strengths, and generally manages the situation. So guys, I'll see you there, and I wish you all the best, and I hope that the best team on the day wins. Thank you.
Awesome. Fantastic job right there on the Lasker look back. I believe it was Peter Depesch. And did we say the Delpeches? Did we miss them as well?
Depesch.
Yeah, Depesch. And then the Delpech brothers.
Oh, we did miss.
If there's one thing I know about those Delpech brothers is they love an alley-oop. I got you, fellas. Anyway, let's focus right back in here. We need Patrick and Jordan Whelan in the room. We had a lot of fun with these guys. You are going to enjoy this. Get your ears on Patrick and Jordan Whelan. Fellas, welcome to the BBL show and thanks for giving us some time. How are you boys? You good?
Yeah, doing good, man. Doing good.
Welcome. Good to see you guys. Fellas, welcome to the BBL show.
For sure. I have to start as I mean to go on. Obviously, Patrick was early, actually, and Jordan was late. So I'm just wondering, just to cause a little bit of beef, like is Coach Gardner a little bit more slack than Coach Paternostro, or where are we going with this?
Yeah. You have no idea how fitting this is going to be when Lloyd watches.
hey, come on, coach. We need to tighten up that culture there, man. Come on now.
We'll have a word with him for sure. But anyway, boys, listen, let's start with Patrick. Just give us a really quick synopsis of your basketball journey so far. So just for anybody on the show that doesn't necessarily know where you're from, what you've done, give us a quick synopsis.
All right. So, you know, growing up through basketball, started in Manchester Magic. I started playing there, I think, you know, as soon as I could walk. Played through the community leagues when I was young, and then, you know, played for them all the way up until I went to college. Went to William Jewell for 4 years. Had a great career at D2 and enjoyed every second of it, to be honest. Then after that, you know, kind of looking to see which pro league to go to, I ended up choosing Spain. Played Leb Silver for 2 years and then gained promotion to Leb Gold. Had a good year there, made the playoffs there, and are now back in England playing for the Leicester Riders and enjoying my time here too. So yeah, it's been a good basketball journey. I've got no regrets really. So yeah.
Amazing. Okay, Jordan.
Yeah. So yes, I started off at Magic. You know, from when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old, even earlier. On kids camps and stuff. Went over to the States, 17, 18, Mid-American Nazarene, just the other side of Kansas City than where Pat was. So we were pretty close, even when we were in college. A couple of years in Germany after that. Then I bounced around a few BBL teams. Finally found my way back home in Manchester.
Yeah, that's London and Worcester, right?
Yeah, London and Worcester, yeah.
Yeah, you've really grown. But before we move on, just let's talk about, did you guys have an opportunity to play together while you were at Manchester Magic?
No, not really.
Yeah, not really together. We were a couple of age groups apart, so we didn't play at that. I think there's a gap, like 17 and 18s, where sometimes you kind of play with each other, but we just missed out on that. So.
Yeah, and if you know Manchester Magic basketball, they always have a team playing in the age group up, right? So you don't just play in your league, you play in the age group up of wherever you're at. So yeah, it would be tough to play like that, all those games, and then another different age group too.
I'm sure you guys took it to the back garden of the local park where you got your one-on-one matchups on. I mean, who had the most bloody noses growing up? Because I'm sure you guys got into a couple of fights.
I'm going to say Pat had the most...
most definitely.
The house, actually. But back then, I was a couple of inches bigger than him. right now, I think he's got an inch or two on me. So,
yeah. Man, I love it.
Yeah, I can remember one time I actually, like, cracked the back of my head on a wall playing one-on-one. So, yeah.
Taking charges even back then, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's focus on you for a second, Jordan. So, you know, let's talk about Manchester, because last year and this year seem very much chalk and cheese. I say that last year started really, really well and there were really high hopes, and then it just kind of fell away. So obviously Lloyd Gardner came in last season and his job was to steady the ship. And then this year, you know, he's far exceeded expectations outside of Manchester. I'm sure necessarily inside with Jamie Edwards, knowing him the way we know him, he's ambitious. But, you know, talk to us a little bit about the differences between your season last season, which was a coming home for you. So it would have been, you know, would have been a good feeling, a great chance for you to play, and you were performing at a really high level. But now this year, you're able to add wins to that experience. So let me know, what's the difference?
Yeah, definitely. I think definitely the difference between this year and last year. We're more structured. We're more locked in on playing good basketball and playing team basketball under Coach Lloyd. I think that's definitely shown in the win column. Outside of that, for me, I think the difference has been, you know, last year, and you know, obviously putting a lot of numbers up and I had a lot of pressure on me, you know, to kind of like, you know, score and whatever for the team. You know, we lost a couple of players last season early on, and that was, you know, kind of like downward spiraled from there for us. So we came into this season with a chip on our shoulder, chip on my shoulder, and just wanted to do anything I could do really to contribute, you know, to winning games. So once Coach Lloyd put, you know, a nice deep squad together for us this season, it's more so been about me just, you know, maintaining energy on the floor, staying ready, you know, and if I have to finish games in the fourth when he needs me, then you know, then that's also been my role as well. So it's a bit here, there and everywhere with the team we have this year, but everyone's kind of contributing. If you look at the stat sheet, you know, we're really like probably like 10 players deep on the score sheet every single game, and I think that's really good to see, especially when we're winning games as well.
Yeah, and the best thing about it is that you guys are doing it with a strong British core, ironically, which is very similar to the Leicester Riders infrastructure. And Patrick, for you, obviously, this is your first year in the BBL. Just talk to us about what was your ambition to come into the league? And secondly, it gets talked about a lot about the culture of the Leicester Riders. And just let us inside and of exactly what that is. We had Mark Levin on here a couple of episodes ago and he gave us a little taste, but what makes that organization so great?
Yeah. You know, my ambitions personally, I kind of just wanted to play the best I could play. I didn't really know how it would go. I knew Leicester obviously was a great organization. I knew I'd get a chance to play some decent minutes with the squad we had. But yeah, just to be the best I could be, try and fit in with, you know, the incredible pieces that we already have, right? And all the incredible returners. And I think as a team, we have, you know, the highest ambitions. We're trying to win whatever we can win. And, you know, we're trying to, every game we go in, like, looking to not just win, but win as big as we can. So, so yeah, that's something that Rob preaches for sure. And that kind of is a little window into the culture itself, right? We never really stop, always keep going. And I would say the main component for me, at least, to why the team plays so well and why we seem to gel well together is just like everyone's kind of having fun rather than like being in an environment that's like restricting you. You're in an environment that allows you to thrive and play the right kind of basketball, but also like with, it seems like, less stress and less of that, you know, added pressure and stuff that you might get in other places. So, you know, everyone turns up to practice every day, like ready to have fun and ready to compete. And I think that's the main component. People are just enjoying basketball. So, yeah.
And I love that. And like, for me personally, obviously me and Drew in the last episode got into a little bit of a battle because I kind of named you, we had the mid-season awards and I named you as my sixth man, like when we were talking about it. And he was like, but he starts.
Yeah. Which is bull, by the way. How he's going to name you sixth man of the year? Like,
listen, he's trying to create beef because he already agreed with me. Because I said, like, they're talking about so many different people. And for me, the keynote for me before the season started was the loss of Corey Johnson going off to Newcastle. And I really thought that that was going to hurt them a great deal. And you've kind of stepped in and you've added another level, another dimension, which is the fact that you are a two-way player. So first of all, you're shooting the ball incredibly, but you are a lockdown defender and we're seeing you even push off onto point guards, which must be just an absolute dream for Rob to have that flexibility through the roster, you know? So when I was talking about a sixth man, I think a sixth man is somebody that's underrated. I think it's somebody that not necessarily talking about. So just setting the record straight there, Drew, but give us a little bit of an insight into General Gino a little bit. You know, obviously he gets the plaudits. Last year he was massively entertaining. You guys went on to win the league, but it kind of dropped away because he was carrying this injury into the playoffs. What's his mentality been like this year in terms of coming back? Because the only way you exceed this now is if he becomes MVP. He's done that already. The only way he's going to exceed it now is adding more trophies to the cabinet. So what's it been like being around him?
Yeah, the first thing I would say about Gino is, like, obviously he's a good guy, but on the court he's very unselfish. You know, you see it in the other game we played last week. He had like 6 points and 16 assists. Like, that's not normal. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, no, he really is looking for you guys to, for all of us to step up and have our own shine also. So I think you kind of see that in the team a little bit. And also defensively, he is a nightmare. Like, steals and deflections all over the place. And I think it's kind of nice, like, watching him guard full court, pick up full court, and us being able to switch off on that role. Like, oftentimes I'll be like, "Yo, Gino, guard this guy. Let me take the ball this time." And he'll be like, "Nah, you go. You know, you need a break. Like, yeah, all right, go get him." You know what I'm saying? So, it's really nice to play with a guy like that. But I would also say, like, Gino, obviously we know what he can do. I think this speaks to the depth of our team that, you know, we have Connor Washington coming off the bench. Like, to me, he's a top point guard in our league also. So, like, to have all those different pieces adding together, like, honestly, I'd say it's been amazing for us.
In the way you describe Gino, he kind of sounds like a sixth man of the year award. So I think I'm going to change my pick to Gino Crandell for sixth man of the year, most definitely. But Jordan, obviously, we got an opportunity to watch you guys in the semifinals against Glasgow Rocks, and you guys look dead in the water. Obviously, down 10 with about 3 minutes to go. Then all of a sudden, you know, you were the unsung hero and just woke the team up and gave that team the confidence and the spark. And I don't know if I put it on Twitter or not, but I think that has a lot to do with your BBL experience. But just tell us your mindset for those last 3 minutes when you essentially took the game over.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was crazy. I really kind of, like, coach called me to sub into the game. I think there was maybe like 6 minutes left or something like that. And I was thinking the same as what you were thinking, probably watching it at home. I was like, this game might be done. But you know what? I kind of just looked inside of myself and thought, you know what? Let's just give it everything. I'm going to get up. And I think Johnny Bunyan was playing point at the time. I subbed in, I was guarding him. So I thought, you know what? Let me just make it difficult for him these last like 6 minutes, see what happens, see if I can use my length and quickness to try and... you know, just ruffle his feathers a little bit going down the stretch. And I think it started with a little steal I had on him. In the first like few seconds I came on the floor and then kind of just went from there, just kept maintaining that energy. Hit a big three in the corner. And once that three went in, I was like, yeah, we've got a chance here to win the game. So yeah.
Amazing. It's kind of like that sometimes. It's an ignition key, right? Little steal here or a little something. And then you just get that feeling right and it just takes off. But let's go into a little bit of fun here, okay? So the rules are keep it brief and keep it clean. I know there's some sibling stuff going on here, but I want a scouting report on each other, okay? So you are about – it's not far away this final. Jordan, start off. Give me the scouting report that you are giving to Coach Gardner on Patrick.
I'm just going to say, don't sleep. Don't sleep. This guy, from when we were young, he's always been able to, even when mum's telling us off, or if someone's in trouble, someone's done something, he'll go under the radar somewhere. You'll miss him. You'll miss him. Don't switch off on him, because he'll be there in the corner. He was ready to swing it to him. So I would say just don't sleep. Like, he's there, ready to snipe it.
I like it. Okay, Patrick, what's your comeback? Here we go. For Coach Rob?
For Coach Rob, I would say about Jordan, obviously, one, don't let him get downhill. Jordan's downhill game is actually kind of ridiculous, to the point where, like, you'll think you have him contained. Like, oh, yeah, I'm in front of this guy. Like, there's no way he's getting this ball on the backboard. And then, boom, something happens. And, like, he's right at the rim with, like, what seems like an easy layup. And I'm just like, yo, how did that happen? But, yeah, and I would also say, like, this kind of defeats the point of what we're doing right now. But I personally wouldn't talk trash to Jordan in a game. I'm not talking any trash. I'm being as silent as possible. Because like you see at the end of the stretch of the Glasgow game, like, sometimes, I've seen it happen many times. He just goes to this different zone and it's like, boom, making everything, you know, getting steals, all this. Like, as long as we can keep him, you know, quiet on the down low, like, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, that's some great stuff. And I'm just actually, for those who are listening who aren't actually watching us on YouTube, I just was taking a little bit of notes there. And for those that are wondering why, it's because I have to face these two in Bucks basketball. Bucks Wednesday, I have to play both of these guys. We have Manchester on the ropes. And of course, Jordan comes in and hit a triple step back bomb. That was a questionable travel to send us home packing. And now I got to play Patrick twice in the next couple weeks. So yeah, unfortunate for my Northumbria squad, but great cut scout report there, guys. Now let's talk about each other's squad. So I starting with you, Patrick, I know you guys haven't played one another this year, which is kind of rare. Usually this time of year, you guys are the only teams that haven't faced one another. Tell me, from the little that you've seen, of what you actually like about the Manchester Giants squad.
Yeah, obviously the first thing is they space the floor really well. Like they play that offense with a lot of passes and a lot of cuts and a lot of 3-point shooting. And they've got three point threats at every position, right? So to me, that's their biggest threat. Like, can we keep them quiet from behind the 3-point line? And you know, guys like Dan Clark, guys like, you know, Jamel, who's having a great year. Their point guard Tyreek Armstrong can also shoot, even though, you know, sometimes he may turn them down. So yeah, to me, that's their squad to a T. And also they've got a lot of tough defensive presences too, right? Obviously Jamel is the best defender that I've played against in a while. You know, Jordan and Josh Steele and Tyreek Armstrong gets a lot of steals and is in a lot of passing lanes. So yeah, I think they're tough on both ends, but I think you really have to keep them quiet from three. Otherwise, you know, you could be in for a long night.
Yeah, and I actually, one other key note is that there isn't anybody on the team playing over 30 minutes, which is very similar to the Leicester Riders. And then one other thing as well is that we talked about your culture, Patrick. It's obvious that Manchester has culture, because, I mean, it could be argued that Jordan should be playing way more minutes, but not once have I seen your body language waver or pout. You just, if you get 15 minutes, you coming in, you balling, and your body language is the same if you were playing 25 minutes. So those are things that fans don't see that are important to winning teams. You got to have guys that's on board, that's not thinking about themselves, and you have a huge impact on that. So tell us what you like, Jordan, about the Leicester Riders.
Yeah, Leicester, like Pat said before, you know, they've got an arsenal of players in different positions. You know, the combination of Gino and then being backed up by Connor is really dangerous, because you know, as if you're a point guard guarding Gino, and then, you know, he switches and Connor comes in. Oh, you might think you're having a break, but in reality, you know, it's another high quality point guard coming in, and they move the ball like crazy. They move the ball like crazy. For me, it's ball movement. I love how they move the ball. I love how they keep everyone involved in plays. They keep everyone involved at the bigs. They've got, you know, they've got Big Mo, and now they've got Darian back as well, which is another That's a big problem for teams down low now. So I think they've just got a really good balance, and they've got Zach. I think Zach is having a really good good year as well. This year, doing a bit of everything, a bit of mid-range shooting, attacking the hoop, defending really well. So yeah, really well-balanced team.
Yeah, you talk about depth as well. Is like you look at Kimball as well. So you've probably got three guys there that could start at the point on any team in the league, and all three of them are more than happy to just do what's necessary to get it done.
Yeah.
I worried about the Lovin addition because it was so different to what they had before, but that's just complemented and just able you to space even more. So I agree, very, very dangerous. I'm really looking forward to this final because, like I said, it's going to be the first time you guys meet each other as well. So I think that's going to create some extra nerves. So not trying to get in your head, guys, but I think that both of you are not really going to know. So you're watching the scouting reports, but until you start getting it done. And like I said as well, good luck with anyone trying to predict who could be the MVP in that final as well. Because at any point in time, oh, goodness me. And that's so fun for us, like when we're doing a podcast, right? You know, when we're talking about predictions, like we're going to get it all kinds of wrong, but I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, guys, I know we're on a little bit of a time scale, so let's finish with a fun game here. It's thick and fast. Sibling tag, 20 questions that are going to come at you thick and fast. Answer them as well as you can. And hey, guys, gloves are off. This is the fourth quarter. You know, just let them have it, all right? So here we go. I'll start with number one. So nice and easy. Who is older?
Me.
Yeah, Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easing us in, I like it.
Older and wiser.
Nice. Okay, who has the best hair?
Jordan. I'll give him that one. He's put a lot of work into it. A lot of work, a lot of time.
He has the curls, the shiny. Yeah, yeah, right. I agree.
This might be correlated, but who has the best sense of style?
Oh, tricky. Yep. Jordan's picking out of my wardrobe a lot. I'm not going to lie.
just make it look better.
Okay, who was the instigator as kids?
Jordan, for sure.
Not me.
Yeah.
Jordan's getting a lot of love right here. Okay, right. Funniest memory that involves your sibling?
Oh, tough one.
Remember that time when we were on holiday, I popped your eardrum?
Oh, man, don't even get me started. Don't even get
okay,
me
we got to hear this one.
Yeah, this
we gotta
is the
hear
most
this
painful.
One.
This is the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. We were on holiday. I was trying to do a handstand in the pool. And I don't know what Jordan was doing. He's kind of probably trying to mess with me in some way. But he like kicked me somehow perfectly in my ear to the point where the pressure buildup was so high under the water that it popped my eardrum. And there was like all kinds of water stuck in my ear, like stuff was
it,
coming
was
out.
Was it a don't tell mom moment?
Like
was it don't tell mom? Don't tell on me. Don't tell.
Oh,
me.
She was right beside the pool, like yo.
Yes, this probably wasn't. This probably isn't the funniest part. The funniest part is he had to wear this kind of like fan type thing over his ear for like the rest of the holiday.
I was allowed in the pool for the rest of the holiday, man. It was awful.
Well, we gotta dig that photo out for sure. But you know, speaking of your childhood, what did you guys most fight about as kids?
Most fight about?
Was it the Nintendo? Ooh. Was it football? What did you guys always seem to be arguing about?
I would say probably it'd have to be like basketball in some way, right? It'd be a one-on-one, and like, you know, I'd be complaining to Jordan that he was like bullying me too much when I'm like trying to play the post at like 25 pounds lighter. So
totally foul cause. We didn't really argue too much about like stuff.
Yeah.
But we were competitive.
I love it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. What was the last text that you sent each other?
Oh, that's a great question. Was it just now? I'm like, Jordan, I'm on. We're waiting for you. Like, let's go.
Why are you late, man?
there's a theme here. Like, there's a lot of the word Jordan coming up, the name Jordan, and late.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we're on 18-hour days over here. You know, we're working and playing. I know, Drew, maybe you know that lifestyle. I don't know, but
shoot, I know that. I'm on 24.
Yeah, right.
That was a day. Yeah. Add in the kids in there. Okay, so I'm gonna put you guys on the spot. You first, Patrick. What's your favorite thing about Jordan?
My favorite thing about Jordan is, you know, growing up as kids, like I could always look up to him to see, you know, the right path to take, whether it's, you know, basketball wise or just in life. You know, it was good to have someone to go ahead of you and you know, maybe make those mistakes to kind of guide you in the right path. So yeah, for sure.
I made all the mistakes.
All right, Jordan, what do you most like about your brother?
Yeah, I love how like cool, calm, and collected he is. He's always been like that as a child. Like I said before, I was always the instigator, but he was always so chilled out, relaxed. And you probably see it in his game too at the minute as well. He's just, you know, he's never too high, never too low. And yeah, I love that about him.
Love it. But hey, let's get the gloves off. What's the least favorite thing about your sibling, Patrick?
Ooh.
He looks like he's sweating over there. He's like,
I'm trying to think. You know, there's a lot of things. Nah, I'm playing. But no, it'd have to be like sometimes when we're in the gym, Jordan will be like, "Hey, can you just like take an Instagram video of me real quick, like lifting these weights?" Or like, "Hey, can you take a video of me, you know, dunking this one time?" Or like, you know, something like that.
He's stunting your growth.
The cameraman, yeah.
Love it. What about you, Jordan?
So my beast is, well, it's probably a similar thing. Like he's so laid back. Like he's lied down like half the time. So it's like, "Hey Pat, let's go to Chapson or let's go do something," and trying to get Pat out, up and out of the house to go and do it, man. You know, it's a long process. That's probably it for me.
All right. Well, obviously you guys being brothers, I'm assuming you guys had a lot of the same interests. So starting with you, Jordan, what is something that you would typically steal off your brother?
Typically steal, probably like a jacket or something. He's or something like that to step out in, probably.
All right, Patrick.
What would I steal off Jordan? Gotta be like when I was growing up, I'd steal a lot of his shoes. His kick game was nice, you know? Especially when he went to the States and brought back all the J's. I was like, man, it was a come up for me, you know what I'm saying?
You're all right with that, Jordan? Because I am a selfish sneakerhead. Like, if somebody put my shoes on, I might be throwing down. Like, you all right with that?
Yeah, he used to thrive off that, but, you know, his size 14 boats.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
It's a wrap now, so my sneakers are safe.
Okay, who's the most humble?
Oh.
Humble. So I'm just gonna say Pat. I'm gonna let him have that one. Just because he's a little quieter about things. Well, I think we're both kind of like, you know, we've both been raised kind of the right way. Our parents would both say we're both humble, good people. So, yeah.
Love it.
Awesome. Who's the most intelligent?
Pat.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with myself on that one. I'm not gonna lie to you.
We're talking book smart or street smart?
Yeah, street smart. Ooh,
that's a great question. That matters. Yeah. That matters.
So we'll take a 50-50 split there on two different sides of the coin. All right, I want to know how much you guys know each other. Okay, so let's start with you, Patrick. What is Jordan's favorite food?
Jordan's favorite food. You know what? He loves a good Indian from the Indian place close to our house, the Raj. Yeah, loves a good Indian.
Winning that, Jordan? You good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
What about you? What's Patrick's favorite food?
I'm gonna say some fried chicken. Matt from the States with all different types of recipes and stuff, and he'd chef it up. So yeah, fried chicken.
Oh, he's the new colonel. He's the new. He's going like that.
He needs to open up business for real.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was gonna say, Pat, when Jordan comes to Leicester, you should take it. Weren't you? I was stalking your Instagram. Weren't you at the Indian last night or the night before?
Oh yeah, Spice Bazaar. Shout out to Spice Bazaar, man. Like, it's a little bonus for us. We get a little bit of money off every time we get a player of the game. So yeah, I'm hitting Spice Bazaar for sure.
Nice. Throwing those guys a little alley-hoop. Okay. Yep. Jordan, what's Patrick's favorite drink?
Favorite drink? Tough. I'm going to say some cool like lemonade or something still. Something like that, maybe.
I'm with that.
Okay.
All right, Pat.
Let's go with some kind of maybe like a tropical juice, something like that.
Yeah. We're right there.
staying true. Okay. Favorite movie? Patrick, what is Jordan's favorite movie of all time?
Oh, of all time. Damn. I feel like I should definitely know this.
I mean, Notebook, Cinderella.
Yeah, Jordan does have rom-com on him. He does. He's got that rom-com side.
Yeah. Maybe if we're going rom-com, we'll go Hitch.
Like that movie then, Jordan? Is that a good one? What is your favorite movie of all time, though, Jordan? Give me the name.
Favorite movie? I just kind of said this the other day, actually. I got two. I'm going to say Coach Carter on the basketball side.
Yeah.
But non-basketball, law-abiding citizen is one of my favorites, to be fair.
Solid picks. One. All right, Jordan, you're up. What is Patrick's all-time favorite movie?
All-time favorite? He used to be really into the Harry Potter series and stuff when we were younger. So I know the 40th anniversary has just popped up right now. I'm sure he's been into that.
I have got to tell you that anniversary thing, my wife is a massive Potterhead and she sat there and she just cried the whole way through. I was left astounded. I was questioning everything, but it is good. Harry Potter is great and my kids love it as well. So you can't go wrong, right, Pat?
Yeah, that's a good shout. I've already seen the new anniversary too. Yeah, I watched it like yesterday.
So. Oh, unreal. It was good. It was good, but it wasn't crying the whole way through good.
No, I feel you.
Okay. Oh, it's you, Drew. Sorry, I'm stealing your limelight here. Let's go.
It's all good. Okay, who's the diva?
Who's the diva? I'm going to go with Jordan.
Sure.
Most athletic.
you'll know.
Most athletic. When we were younger, Jordan was so much more athletic than me. It wasn't even funny. I was kind of a late bloomer, you know. But when we were younger, Jordan had the hops, had the speed, had everything.
Yeah,
you got it now though. Pat, or no?
Probably gonna say Pat at this minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see. Both of you guys got that one leg too. That two-hander,
with that
ass break in your arsenal. Yeah, I see that. I need to see who has the one-hander though. The one-hand cockback.
The cockback, two hands for safety in a game always.
Ooh, good answer. There you go.
I feel you on that. Okay, this is interesting. Obviously, you guys grew up together. You know pretty much everything about each other. Patrick, what is something that your brother doesn't know about you?
something my brother doesn't know about me.
If anything.
Damn, that's a tough one.
This could be a big reveal, you know.
I got a good one. I haven't told him this yet, but he's going to be the best man at my wedding. So that's a BBL pod exclusive. You know? BBL exclusive right there.
That is absolutely great. How do you feel, Jordan? Yeah. How do you feel?
Try something on that one.
Wait to get that fit ready.
There you go.
That is a limelight steal right there. That okay, Jordan.
Alley-oop.
I don't even know how you top that, brother. I don't even know what do you do from here. Where do you go?
Man, I don't even know. That's super tough. I don't really think there's really too much you don't know about me, to be honest.
We'll let you off before the big last question, before the question we finish with. I'm gonna go in. So it's pretty obvious that you've got Patrick as the most laid back. Jordan seems like a little bit of the mischievous, but it's not an obvious answer. Who is most likely to break wind in an elevator?
Oh, tough one.
We heard Indian food talked about a lot. This is fried chicken. This is a question, you know.
Yeah, it might be me, but I won't let anyone notice. You know,
you're one of those.
Would it be you and you blame your brother? Is that
exactly?
I got a lot of time for that. I got a lot of time for that. All right, last question's on Mr. Lasker.
So you get a kick out of when that aroma hits the nose and they first. You just sitting there like waiting on them to snap.
The first head move.
For sure.
All right, fellas, before we let you out of here, Jordan, starting with you, the $1 million question that all the BBL fans want to know is who will be holding the cup on January 30th?
Manchester Giants, man. Manchester Giants. Been 21 Ooh. Years. Been 21 years about that time, you know. Basketball came home. Hey.
He's setting the scene. Chest. Yeah, they're building their own emotion. You can tell what's going on in that locker room, right? That siege mentality. What about you, Pat?
You know, I think it's going to be a good game, but I've got to back my guys, man. I think we're going to go to war. We're going to battle and ultimately come out on top. So, yeah.
Man, absolutely love it. Guys, Listen, we are so excited to see that matchup for sure. Like I said, there's so much to be excited about. It's the first time you guys face off each other. It's first v second. There's new players, there's old players, there's history there between the two of you. There's just so much to love about this matchup. But we appreciate your time, guys. I know you guys have got to get going, get for practice, etc. But thanks for being good fun. Thanks for playing the game at the end. And we'll see you at the finals, fellas.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, good luck, fellas. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers.
See you guys. What a great interview that was, Mr. Lasker. That was a lot of fun. Those guys played along with our antics as usual. We mess around with the order of things that we do here and there to try and see if we can raise the levels, and they definitely helped us do that. Looking forward, like I've said before, this Manchester Giants Leicester Riders is so intriguing for me. I'm so excited for this final. There's so much more extra little pieces and spices in there, and Patrick going against Jordan is just one of those. But anyway, guys, listen, these episodes are coming real fast. We're really grateful for you guys sticking with us. Hopefully you are enjoying it. This one was a great one. I really believe you're going to enjoy it. But get on the socials. Let us know how you're feeling. Let us know if there's anyone we should be speaking to. Is there any takers for me going after the London Lions and understanding what they are after? And if they tell me they're not being judged on silverware, behave. Anyway, that's enough from me. Drew, lead us out.
Yeah, man, what a fun episode. And Jay, great job on coming up with those questions. Some really cool stuff to kind of get those guys to open up. And like you talked about, man, this is one of the most intriguing finals I could think of in a long time, for the simple fact that these guys haven't played each other. And then I kind of look at it as big brother, little brother, as you got the Manchester Giants trying to follow the path of the Leicester Riders, going with the British core, going with that deep roster. So it's a lot of things to look forward to. And on release, there's 19 days. Can you believe that until the cup final? So crazy. As we inch closer, we're going to keep getting deeper into this game. But until then, you know where to catch us, guys. Same place, same time here on the show.
The show.
Thanks for listening to the BBL Show. The BBL Show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your hosts, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following the BBL on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events, and fan interaction. Until next time.